ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರುಭ್ಯೋ ನಮಃ. ಹರಿ ಓಂ. ಸದಾಶಿವ ಸಮಾರಂಭಾಂ ಶಂಕರಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಮಧ್ಯಮಾಂ ಅಸ್ಮದಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಪರ್ಯಂತಾಂ ವಂದೇ ಗುರು ಪರಂಪರಾಂ ಸದ್ಗುರು ಚರಣಾರವಿಂದಾಭ್ಯಾಂ ನಮಃ. ಬ್ರಹ್ಮಸೂತ್ರ ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ 2 ಪಾದ 4. ಪ್ರಾಣೋತ್ಪತ್ತ್ಯಧಿಕರಣಂ ತಥಾ ಪ್ರಾಣಾಃ ಗೌಣ್ಯ ಸಂಭವಾತ್ ತತ್ಪ್ರಾಕ್ಷುತೇಶ್ಚ ತತ್ಪೂರ್ವಕತ್ವಾತ್ ವಾಚಃ. ಸಪ್ತಗತ್ಯಧಿಕರಣಂ ಸಪ್ತಗತೇಃ ವಿಶೇಷಿತತ್ವಾಚ್ಚ ಹಸ್ತಾದಯಸ್ತು ಸ್ಥಿತೇಃ ಅಥೋ ನೈವಂ. ಪ್ರಾಣ ಅಣುತ್ವಾಧಿಕರಣಂ ಅಣವಶ್ಚ ಪ್ರಾಣಶ್ರೇಷ್ಠ್ಯಾಧಿಕರಣಂ ಶ್ರೇಷ್ಠಶ್ಚ ವಾಯುಕ್ರಿಯಾಧಿಕರಣಂ ನ ವಾಯುಕ್ರಿಯೇ ಪೃಥಕ್ ಉಪದೇಶಾತ್ ಚಕ್ಷುರಾದಿವತ್ತು ತತ್ ಸಹಶಿಷ್ಟ್ಯಾದಿಭ್ಯಃ ಅಕರಣತ್ವಾಚ್ಚ ನ ದೋಷಃ ತಥಾ ಹಿ ದರ್ಶಯತಿ. ಪಂಚವೃತ್ತಿರ್ಮನೋವತ್ ವ್ಯಪದಿಶ್ಯತೆ. ಶ್ರೇಷ್ಠಾಣುತ್ವಾಧಿಕರಣಂ ಅಣುಶ್ಚ ಜ್ಯೋತಿರಾಧ್ಯಾಧಿಕರಣಂ ಜ್ಯೋತಿರಾದಿ ಅಧಿಷ್ಠಾನಂ ತು ತದಾ ಮನನಾತ್ ಪ್ರಾಣವತಾ ಶಬ್ದಾತ್ ತಸ್ಯ ಚ ನಿತ್ಯತ್ವಾತ್. ಇಂದ್ರಿಯಾಧಿಕರಣಂ ತ ಇಂದ್ರಿಯಾಣಿ ತತ್ ವ್ಯವದೇಶಾತ್ ಯತ್ರ ಶ್ರೇಷ್ಠಾತ್ ಭೇದಶ್ರುತೇಃ ವೈಲಕ್ಷಣ್ಯಾಚ್ಚ. ಫಸ್ಟ್ ಲೆಟ್ ಅಸ್ ಡೂ ದಿ ಜನರಲ್ ಅನಾಲಿಸಿಸ್ ಆಫ್ ದಿಸ್ ಸೂತ್ರ. ವ್ಯಾಸಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಸೇಸ್ ದಟ್ ಪ್ರಾಣ ಅಂಡ್ ಸೆನ್ಸ್ ಆರ್ಗನ್ಸ್ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಸೆಪರೇಟ್ ಫಂಕ್ಷನ್. ದೇ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಟೂ ಡಿಫರೆಂಟ್ ಫಂಕ್ಷನ್ಸ್. Mukhya prana does the maintenance function and survival is not considered as one of the transactions, but survival is the main deed for the function. And the indriyas are meant for transactions in life. That is why the superiority and inferiority of the living being is measured in terms of transaction, but not on the basis of the survival. And all living beings are graded uniformly, but the differences amongst living beings are based on the functions or transactions only. And the gradation is possible by transactions, and therefore transactions are totally separate functions where alone tripti comes, namely adhyatmam, adhidaivam, and adhibhutam. They all those functions come. And because of this only, we find another very important difference. The transaction come and go. In Jagrat Avastha, we have transactions. In Swapna Avastha, we have dream transactions. And in Sushupti, we have no transactions at all. But prana and its functions, they continue. One is essential service, prana, and the others are secondary service, but they are needed for survival. And the function difference is the third reason for the distinction. And now let us do the word analysis of the sutra. We stopped here in the last class. Vailakshanyacha, that is a sutra. Because of the distinct nature, vailakshanyam, also cham, they are different. Now let us see the significance of the words. Vailakshanyam means distinct nature. That means what? Sense organs can stop in sushupti, but prana cannot. So before we conclude this adhikarana, we have to refute the Purvapakshi and Ekadeshi also. And Ekadeshi says that they should be taken as one principle. And for that purpose, he gave the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad Vakyam as a support, which says all the sense organs said, then let us assume the nature of prana. I told you that story. They all assumed. They said, let us all assume the nature of prana. And here Shankaracharya points out that sense organs assume the nature of prana, and it does not mean that they have become one with prana. They assume the nature of prana. And since sense organs are not active in Sushupti, we say sense organs borrow kriya shakti from prana, just as the electricity lends power to different gadgets in the house or everywhere. Then we have to refute the Purvapakshi, and they said they are contradictory because the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad Vakyam should be taken as though prana, because they borrow kriya shakti. Prana is born out of what? Rajoguna. If you remember Tattvabodham, Vayoho Rajasham Syat Pranendriyam Sambhutam. So from the Rajasic aspect of Vayu. Therefore, it has Kriya Shakti and lends Kriya Shakti to all the sense organs. And with this, the eighth adhikaranam is over. And in the eighth and the fifth adhikaranams of this chapter, of this Pada, the Purvapakshi and Ekadeshi try to do one job. There is a slight difference though between them. In the fifth adhikaranam, Ekadeshi said, Prana is one of the aspects of sense organs. Fifth adhikaranam, he said, Prana is one of the aspects of sense organs. Here, sense organs become independent tattvam and Prana is taken as part. But in the eighth adhikaranam, Ekadeshi talks of the opposite. They say Prana is independent tattvam, but the others, they come under different plane. That is Ekadeshi's claim. So this is the attempt of Ekadeshi. And Siddhanta establishes that neither Prana is an aspect of sense organs, nor the sense organs are an aspect of Prana. So this is the essence of this adhikaranam. Now let us go to the next adhikaranam. Samya Murti Klipti Adhikaranam. That is the name of this adhikaranam. Samya Murti Klipti Adhikaranam. Ninth topic. Ninth adhikaranam of this pada. Samya Murti Klipti Stum Trivrut Kurvatam Upadeshat. This is the 20th sutra of the fourth pada. Second chapter, 289th running Brahma Sutra. First, let us give a general introduction to this adhikaranam. And in the previous eight adhikaranams, various aspects regarding Sukshma Shariram were given. They dealt with either Mukhya Prana or Gauna Prana or Indriyani. Gauna Prana or Indriyas. And they come under Bhautikam. They talked of Sukshma Bhautika Srishti, creation of Sukshma Bhautika Srishti. And the previous pada, third pada, that talked about the Bhuta Srishti. And here Bhautika Srishti. And this Bhautika Prapancha itself can be divided into two portions, namely Sukshma Bhautika Prapancha, subtle universe, and also Stula Bhautika Prapancha, the gross universe. Now let us deal with the Stula Bhautika Prapancha Srishti. That is the topic. And with respect to this topic, whatever seeming differences are there, they have to be now resolved. This is the subject matter of this particular adhikaranam. And here also we will have Purvapakshi, Ekadeshi, and Siddhanta. And the first Shruti Vakyam that they take is from Chandogya Upanishad, 6th chapter, 3rd section, 2nd mantra. And the mantra says, Seyam Devata Ikshata Hantaha Mimaha Tisro Devata Anena Jivena Atmana Anupravishya Nama Rupe Vyakaravaniti. That is the mantra from the 6th chapter of Chandogya that is taken for discussion here. And the essence of the sentence is what? Brahman alone was there with Maya Shakti, and this Brahman decided to create, and he created what? Not five elements, three elements. This Chandogya context, we should remember. He created three elements. And we should know three is equal to five elements. That is, we have to understand that. This explanation also we have given earlier. So Upanishad talks about the Sukshma Bhuta Srishti, subtle Bhuta Srishti, and not Sukshma Prapancha Srishti. And that we have to supply actually. Now what is left out is the gross universe has to be created. Sukshma Prapancha, after that Srishti is over, gross Prapancha has to be created. And before creating this gross universe, namely the Stula Prapancha, Brahman thinks, as it were, Brahman thinks, let me enter Sukshma Prapancha in the form of Jiva. These words are all important because we are going to have discussions on them. Let me enter Sukshma Prapancha, subtle universe in the form of Jiva. So Sukshma Prapancha implies what? All the Sukshma Shariram also. Sukshma Prapancha includes all the Sukshma Shariras. And Brahman thinks, let me enter the Sukshma Shariram in the form of Jiva. And having entered the Sukshma Shariram as Jiva, let me then create the Stula Prapancha, the gross universe. So the expression used here for Stula Prapancha is Nama Rupa here. Not a Stula Prapancha, but Nama Rupa, names and forms. And Nama Rupa is equal to Stula Bhautika Prapancha. And Vyakaravani, that means let me create. In the sutra, we read the thing in the mantra, Vyakaravani, that means let me create. And if you read the sentence, it looks let me enter sukshma prapancha in the form of jiva and let me create stula prapancha. That is how it reads. So it appears as if jiva created stula prapancha, because Lord said let me enter into jiva and create stula prapancha. So it may appear that jiva created the stula prapancha and not Brahma, and therefore Chandogya Upanishad creates an impression that the jiva is srishtikarta of stula prapancha. The jiva is the srishtikarta, creator of the gross universe. There is no confusion but the sukshma prapancha srishti. For subtle universe, no confusion at all. After the sukshma srishti, having entered, entered the jiva, the jiva created, and it seems to be the, and jiva seems to be the karta of stula prapancha srishti. And the name used for stula prapancha srishti is namarupa vyakarana. That is what is used. This is vakyam number one. And there is another vakyam, another sentence also Acharya takes, that is from Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, first chapter, fourth section, seventh mantra, and that says, taddedam tarhi avyakritam asit tan nama rupabhyam eva vyakriyata asau namayam idagum rupa iti taditam apye tarhi nama rupabhyam eva vyakriyate asau namayam idagum rupa iti. Avyakritam refers to Brahman, the Ishvara, the creator, or maya sahitam Brahman. And that Brahman alone projected, expanded all the nama rupas, which included the stula prapancha srishti, the gross universe. And the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad says that Brahman created all the nama rupas or the stula prapancha, grass universe. Brahman created. Whereas nama rupa vyakaranam is done by jiva as per Chandogya Upanishad. Since Upanishads are contradicting themselves, Purvapakshi, as usual, says, do not study Vedas, according to Purvapakshi. Then comes Ekadeshi, and he wants to resolve in his peculiar way so that Shruti should be vindicated and validated according to him. So his intention is good. And he says, Chandogya Upanishad alone should be correct. Jiva alone is the creator of Stula Bhautika Prapancha. Ishvara can be the creator of Sukshma Prapancha, but Stula Prapancha is created by Jiva only. That is Ekadeshi's contention. And Jiva should be taken as the creator of Stula Prapancha. Therefore, Jiva becomes Karta. Now, Ekadeshi has to explain the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad Vakyam. Again, he resolves the seeming contradiction in his own peculiar way. And Ekadeshi says, when Brihadaranyaka Upanishad says Ishvara is the creator of the gross universe Stula Prapancha, you have to split the Vakyam into two, namely, Ishvara is the direct creator of Sukshma Prapancha, the subtle universe, whereas with respect to Stula Prapancha, Ishvara is only an indirect creator. Ishvara comes in the form of Jiva, and as Jiva creates the stula prapancha. Therefore, Ishvara is creator of all, in one case directly as Ishvara, and in another case indirectly as Jivaha. Therefore, ultimately, God is the karta of everything, is the doer of everything, creator of everything. Thus, there is no contradiction. This is Ekadeshi Matam. Now, Siddhanti comes, and he answers in Sutra 20, and let us first do the general analysis of this Sutra 20. He says, Ishvara or Brahman alone is creator of Stula Prapancha also. That is the conclusion he makes, Siddhanti's conclusion. Ishvara or Brahman alone is the creator of the gross prapancha, gross universe. And Vyasacharya, he asks us to observe the Chandogya Upanishad Vakyam clearly, carefully. He says, let me enter Jivaha. That's what the Lord said. Let me enter Jivaha and create the Stula Prapancha, the gross universe. And Vyasacharya says, study the next sentence to get the clarity. Don't stop here. Which is, Brahman wanted to enter the Jiva and create Stula Prapancha. Brahman wanted to enter Jiva and create Stula Prapancha. Remember, Stula Prapancha can be created only after creation of Sukshma Prapancha. It's all Tattvabodha topics. The Stula Prapancha grass universe can be created only after the creation of Sukshma Prapancha. Grass elements are not born before creation of the subtle world. Subtle is the Sukshma Prapancha and grass elements is Stula Prapancha. So first he creates the grass elements and then he wants to create Stula Prapancha. So first he creates grass elements and then he creates the Prapancha, the universe, from individual vesti to samashti. Therefore, he creates the grass elements. And here there is Jiva reference in this context. So let me grassify, the Lord said, let me grassify and create the grass universe. This grassification and all panchikaran, and this is all topics in Tattvabodha. We have seen them in detail. I mentioned earlier also. So let me grassify and create the grass universe. And we come to know from this that Ishvara alone is the creator of the grass universe also. So the second part of the Chandogya Upanishad Vakyam resolves the confusion. That what's the confusion? Jiva created the universe. So here, let me create means that me, that refers to Ishvara alone and not Jiva. Since Brahman thought in the beginning, the let me, that refers to Brahman alone and not Jiva, because Brahman alone thought in the beginning that he will create. So thus Jiva is neither the creator of elements nor the elementals. He is neither the creator of the elements nor the elementals. Now let us see the word analysis. What is the sutra? Sanya murti kliptistu trivrit kurvata upadeshat. Samya murti kliptihi, creation of the grass names and forms. Two means indeed, the function. Trivrit kurvataha, of Brahman who created the grass elements. This is running meaning I'm giving. I will explain the words. And upadeshat means since it is mentioned in this Shruti statement. Now let us look at the significance of each of these words. Samya murtihi, nama refers to nama rupa. Here, Namarupa refers to the grass universe or Srishti. Two means this word is for negating the Purupakshi and Ekadeshi. That is why this, when you say however, that means you are coming with something else. So two means this word is indeed is for negating the Purupakshi and Ekadeshi. Trivrit Kurvataha. Trivrit Kurvataha means the one who grassifies, the grassification takes place from the subtle to the grass. And in the case of subtle elements, each one is pure without the mixture of others in terms of subtle prapancha. All the subtle elements, each one is pure without the mixture of any other element. They are all mixed up in particular proportions in grassification. When the elements get mingled together, grassification takes place. This is Panchikarnam topic of Tattvabodha. When they mix together, there are proportions. That also we will say briefly later. And every grass element is a mixture of five subtle elements. So if you take grass akasha, then grass akasha is mixture of the five subtle elements, all the five elements in different proportions. So this grassification process is given in Taittiriya Upanishad and it is called Panchikaranam. And in Chandogya Upanishad, it is given as Trivrit Karana. So that Panchikaranam, here it is Trivrit Karana. If you remember, only three elements are talked here. And the Lord who brings in this Srishti is called Trivrit Karman. Someone who like Brahman, Trivrit Karman. And the creation of the grass universe is the function of the Lord who creates the three grass elements. And the last word is Upadeshat. Upadeshat. That refers to because of the clear, the second statement of Chandogya Upanishad. First statement, there is some vagueness. And that's why Vyasacharya asked us to read the second statement clearly. And Chandogya Upanishad, second statement. And what is the first statement? Seyam devata ikshata hantaha mimas tistro devata anena. That is the first sentence. And there is some vagueness here as we have pointed out. And the second statement, jivenam atmanam anupravishya. Nama rupe vyakarana vaniti. Jiva reference is not there and it is clear. There is no jiva reference here, and it's not, it's really clear, because only when jiva comes, there's Brahma. Brahman alone created the universe also. And Shankaracharya, in his commentary, he gives a couple of more reasons also. And he says, in the first statement, Seyam Devadekshada Hantaha Mimavs Tisrava Devata Anena, in that first statement, in that what happens, that there is no vagueness at all. There is no vagueness. If you study the sentence clearly, what does the first sentence say? Having entered Sukshma Prapancha as Jiva, let me create Stula Prapancha. That is what the Lord thought. Having entered Sukshma Prapancha as Jiva, the subtle universe as Jiva, let me create Stula Prapancha, grass universe. And Shankaracharya argues that as Jiva, the expression is associated with entry only. All kinds of hair splitting. The expression entry, it's for Jiva, the expression is associated only with the process of entry alone. It is not associated with the verb of creation. It is associated only with the verb of entry. There are two verbs, of which one refers to entry into what? Sukshma Prapancha, the subtle universe. And the second one is the verb of creation of the Stula Prapancha, the grass universe. So of these two, Jivena Atmana as Jiva is associated only with the entry and not associated with the creation of Stula Srishti. Therefore, it is clear Jiva intervention is not there with respect to Stula Srishti, grass universe. Okay. And if Jiva intervention is there in both cases, let us assume, then the reading should be how? Jivena Atmana Anupravishya Jivena Atmana Vyakaravani. It should have been there in both the places. Why are you then unnecessarily dragging the expression here and getting it confused? That's what Shankaracharya is saying. This is the second argument given by Shankaracharya. And he gives one more argument also. And he says, even if you somehow drag, saying that Jiva only created, saying Jivena Atmana twice, if you did that, as we read in the just now, as Jiva, I enter the Sukshma Prapancha, the subtle universe, and as Jiva, I created the Stula Prapancha also. Even if you want to drag it that way also, even though grammatically you may be able to manage, but logically it is not proper, it cannot be done at all. Why? Because Jiva is not capable of even building a small house in his lifetime. So, miserable Jiva, Alpajnaha, Alpashaktiman, Alpeshwaraha, Anishaya, Shochati Mukhyamaha, such a Jiva it is. He has time only to cry. Where is the question of creating the galaxies, the sun, moon, stars, continents, mountains, rivers, oceans, all that? He cannot even understand the creation. How can he create the world? That is so it is not logical to say Jiva created the world. Therefore, Jivasya Yogyata Abhavat Stula Prapancha Vyakarta Jivaha Nabhavati. These are the two arguments given by Shankaracharya. And he gives one more Shruti support also, because one confusion is with respect to what? Stula Prapancha Srishti, grass universe, creation of the grass universe, that is the doubt. And what is the technical word used here? Nama Rupa Vyakaranam. That's what is used in the Upanishad. Now Shankaracharya says, let us search the Upanishad elsewhere and see whether there is some clarity. Because sometimes you can get clarity in somewhere else in the same Upanishad or in some other Upanishad also. We have used certain occasions to discuss this, even we discuss many Upanishads, especially Chandogya and Brihadaranyaka. And he says, the 8th chapter, 14th section, first mantra of Chandogya makes it very clear, without any doubt, that Brahman created the Stula Prapancha, the grass universe. Akasho vai nama, nama rupa yoho nirvahita. Actually, we have analyzed this point actually in the third pada, first chapter, 12th sutra, Brahma sutra. Itself, this point we have seen there. That sutra was what? Anya bhava vyavrittescha. That was the sutra there. We have seen this point there. There we have analyzed. It is clearly said that Brahman alone is the creator. There Akasha means Brahman. That also we mentioned at that time. Akasho vai nama. that Akasha refers to Brahma. Brahman alone is Nama Rupa Vyakarta. Nama Rupa refers to grass prapancha that we already mentioned. That it is very clearly said, without introducing Jiva, there is no mention of Jiva there at all. Therefore, Stula Prapancha Srishti, grass universe creation, is done by Brahman and not by Jiva. That is the conclusion. So, in fact, with this sutra, this Adhikaranam itself is over. And the next two sutras of this Adhikaranam are only incidental sutras. And therefore, here itself, we will also see the refutation of the Ekadeshi and Purapakshi also. Because I told this all these three has to be included. Ekadeshi, what did he say? Jiva alone is the creator of Stula Prapancha. And what was his reason? Jivena Atmana Anupravishya. Clearly said. Because Brahman entered into Jiva. And to the Ekadeshi, what is our answer? Jiva does not have the capacity to create Stula Prapancha. Therefore, Jiva is not creator. It is not logical. Jiva is incapable of creating Stula Prapancha grass universe, so he cannot be the creator. Then Ekadeshi asks the question, if Jiva is not involved in the creation of Stula Prapancha, then why should the Upanishad talk about the Brahman entering the Jiva at all? Upanishad doesn't have to use that particular statement at all, Anupravesha Shruti. So Upanishad need not introduce the topic of entry, Anupravesha, as Jiva, and what is the purpose of this Anupravesha? This is Ekadeshi's question. And for this, Shankaracharya says that the entry as Jiva is mentioned because Stula Prapancha Srishti is for whom? Stula Prapancha Srishti is only for the sake of Jiva. Ishvara does not create a creation, need a creation. He doesn't require a creation. He doesn't require a body or the grass universe for clearing the Punya Papam or Moksha. Ishvara doesn't require any of this. It is clarified actually in the Mandukya Karika. We have said this in some other context. In the second chapter, 16th Karika, it is second. So there it is already said, Jivam Kalpayate Purvam Tato Bhavan Pratak Vidanam Bahyanadya Atmikam Chaivam Adhyatmikam Chaivam Yata Vidyas Tata Smritihi. And that is the sloka there. Jiva is created first. Jivam kalpayate purvam, first. And for the sake of Jiva, world is created. Without Jiva, world has no relevance. Even for Ishvara, world is not required. Therefore, Anupravishya, Brahman entered as Jiva, and thereafter, Jiva did not create. Brahman itself created the world also for Jiva. Only for Jiva it was created because that is the locus where Punya Papas can be exhausted. Therefore, Ekadeshi is not correct. Finally, Purvapakshi also is not correct because there is no contradiction between Brihadaranyaka Upanishad and Chandogya Upanishad Vakyams because Brahman alone is the creator as per both of them because that was clarified. There is a seeming contradiction because of Anupravesha Shruti, the entry Shruti, but on analysis, there is no contradiction at all, as we saw just now. With this, really, this Adhikaranam is over. But two incidental points are to be discussed in the next two sutras, so we will see them also to complete the Adhikaranam. Mamsadi Bhaumam Yata Shabdam Itara Yoscha. Mamsadi Bhaumam Yata Shabdam Itara Yoscha is the sutra, 21st sutra, 4th Pada, 2nd chapter, 290th. Running Brahma Sutra. First, let us do the general analysis of this sutra. In the previous sutra, the Stula Bhautika Shrishti was talked about. Stula grass Bhautika Shrishti, grass universe. And Stula Prapancha was talked about also. And here, Stula Sharira Shrishti is talked about. Prapancha Shrishti is over. Now here, Sharira Shrishti, grass body, is talked about, and it is also born out of the Lord alone indirectly. This grass body also is born out of the Lord only indirectly, out of the Stula Bhutas. Stula Bhutas means we should immediately understand they are the grassified elements. Stula Bhutas are the grassified elements. So Bahyaha Stula Prapanchaham and Adhyatmika Stula Shariram Cha, both. So the external Stula Prapancha universe and also this Stula Shariram also, body. And this is discussed actually in the sixth chapter of Chandogya, fifth section, section 1 to 3, all those various mantras, they talk about this. And there the Upanishad points out as to how the three elements are responsible for the sthula shariram. In Chandogya context, there are three elements that we have already taught. So three elements of Chandogya is equal to five elements of three and all. So there the Upanishad points out as to how the three elements are responsible for the grass body, and it talks about three parts of each element also. Earth has three parts. That is grass part, subtle part, and subtlest part. Similarly, earth, jalam, agni, all of them. And out of the three portions, three items are created. And actually we saw it in detail then. For example, I will only briefly say here, from earth element, what are the three things created? Malam, mamsa, and manaha. Malam, mala, mamsa. Malam means what? Grass waste. That is malam. That is born out of the grasser part of the earth, the waste. And mamsa means flesh. Flesh born out of subtle part of earth. So from the grasser part, malam comes. Waste, grass waste, and subtle part, mamsam comes, that is from of earth, and from the subtlest part, manas comes, manaha. And this is with respect to earth. And with respect to water, jalam, what are the three? Mutra, rakta, and prana. Mutra is urine, and rakta is blood, and prana. These three are created out of water. So mutra from the grassest form, rectum, that is the blood from the subtle form, and prana is from the subtlest form of water. And from the fire, from agni, asthi, the bone, majja, the bone marrow, and vak, the speech. These three things are created. So from the three elements, what are those? Earth, jalam, and fire. Three elements, nine parts of the shariram are created. And this is just indicated, and there is no Purvapakshi, Ekadeshi, Siddhanta and all discussion here. This only indicated here just as a reference. And we will see the word analysis now. What is the sutra? Mamsadi bhaumam yatha shabdam itarayoscha. That is the sutra. So mamsadi means from flesh, etc. Adi shabdad, etc. And bhaumam. Bhauma means they are products of the earth. Itarayohocha means we have to supply products of other elements. They are only agni and the water. So the other two elements also should be known. Yata shabdam, as revealed, shabda here refers to Shruti Vedas, as revealed in the Shruti. Now let us see the significance of the words. Mamsadi, mamsam, mamsam, flesh, etc. Mamsa, malam, manaha, these three are. So, bhauma, they are the products of the earth. All these three are products of the earth. Grass, subtle, and subtlest part of the earth, respectively. Itarayoho, the products of the other two elements. And how many? Three products each. Itarayoho means other two, namely agni and water. So, earth was discussed, and agni and water, the other two. And what are they? Yatha shabdam. That we have completed the Chandogya Upanishad before. So according to Chandogya Shruti, we have already seen that. So Yatha Shabdam, whatever is given there. So Vyasacharya does not give anything else more here. He says, go back to Chandogya and from 6.5.1-3 and understand from there. So Shabda means Shabda Pramanam Chandogya here, Chandogya Upanishad. Thus, Bahya Bhautika Srishti is over. Antara Bhautika Srishti is also over. Bahya means the grass prapancha, and Antara means the individual body also is over. Then comes the last sutra. Vaiseshyatthu tadvadas tadvadaha. Vaiseshyatthu tadvadas tadvadaha. This is the 22nd sutra, 4th Pada, 2nd chapter, 291, running Brahma Sutra. This is also an incidental information only, as I mentioned earlier. First, let us do the general analysis of this sutra. And we pointed out before, for creating the grass elements, the Lord, he mixes all the five or all the three elements for grassification. I taught. Therefore, each grass element will have all the five elements. Also, all the five subtle elements, each grass element will have. And we have seen the proportion of the mixture in Tattva Bodha. Please refer to those lectures. For example, if you take grass Akasha, this tool Akasha, grass Akasha, the grass Akasha is a mixture consisting of Akasha itself, that is 50%, one half of the total is the subtle Akasha, plus 1/8 of Vayu, 1/8 of Agni, 1/8 of water, and 1/8 of earth. All the four put together is another half. So one half is Akasha, and the other half is made up of all these other four elements. So it makes one full Akasha, grass Akasha. So it is a mixture of all the five in different proportions. Similarly, grass Vayu will have one half of subtle Vayu, and 1/8 of Akasha, 1/8 of Agni, 1/8 of water, 1/8 of earth. Like that for all the five elements. Therefore, the question is what? If Akasha itself has got all the five elements, then why you call it Akasha? You should say a mixture perhaps, or name all the five. And why do you name grass Akasha as Akasha, even when Akasha has got all five elements? For that, the reason we give is, in the grass Akasha element is dominant. Subtle Akasha only is dominant in the grass Akasha. One half is Akasha, whereas the rest is all 1/8 each. Therefore, name is given on domination basis. Now let us see the word analysis. What is the sutra? Vaisheshyattu tadvadas tadvadaha. Tadvadaha tu. The particular name of a particular grass element. Let us say we said Akasha, of any particular element, the particular name, Vaisheshyat. The particular name is because of the predominance, Vaisesha, of a particular element. Predominance of the particular element, the name is given. Then the word Tadvadaha, Tadvadas Tadvadaha is there. It is repeated once again to indicate the end of second chapter. So Tadvadaha, the particular name, it is repeated twice, essentially to indicate the end of the second chapter. Not only the end of the ninth adhikaranam of the second chapter, of the fourth pada, it is the end of the fourth pada also, and the end of the second chapter. And also the chapter end is indicated by repeating the last word. If you remember, the first chapter, it ended with vyakhyata, vyakhyata. So it ended also by repeating the words. So here also it ended like this. So the second chapter ends with Tadvada, Tadvada. So with this, the second chapter of Brahma Sutra is successfully over. And people use such techniques of repeating and all that thing. For example, even in Shakespeare drama, they will have when a scene ends, they will have an iambic couplet. As in, if we have all will be all blank words, so he will put an iambic couplet at the end. So these are people use several techniques to indicate the ending or start. They do various techniques. So in prosody, these things are all out. Now let us go to the third chapter. Introduction, let us give a brief introduction to the third chapter first before we go to the chapter proper. And this chapter is called Sadhana Adhyayaha. As the word itself shows, sadhana means preparatory disciplines, sadhanas, to gain Vedantic teaching, which has been established in the last two chapters. So this is called Sadhana Adhyaya. And this Adhyaya also has got four padas or four sections. And all the four sections, they deal with varieties of sadhanas only. The first pada, the topic is Jiva Gati Vicharaha. It deals with the travel. Gati means travel. The travel of Jiva from body to body. Inquiry into the travel of Jiva from body to body. Shariram to Sharira. Loka to Loka. From this world to next world and last. Because of which life is called samsara. So the purpose of the samsara chara is what? To develop vairagyam, which is a prerequisite to develop interest in Vedanta. Because ultimately one has to come to Vedanta if one wants moksha. Interest in Vedanta is directly proportional to disinterest in samsara. They are directly proportional to disinterest in samsara. Or vairagya sadhana. So the second pada deals with tattvam padarthas. So first pada deals with this various sadhanas and samsara vichara. And the second pada deals with tattvam padarthas. the tatpada and twadampada both, vicharaha. So the inquiry into the tvam padartha and tatpadartha, both the inquiries are done. And tvam refers to, as you know, in tattvamasi, tvam refers to jivatma swarupam and tatpada refers to paramatma swarupam in tattvamasi. And only if you know the meaning of tat and tvam, you can understand the meaning of the mahavakyam tattvamasi. This all we know, but just only I'm mentioning that. There's a need for us to know tat and tvam padas. And there's a basic law that the knowledge of a sentence, this may look obvious to us, but in Nyaya Shastra and all, they make all these things explicitly clear. Mimamsa and everywhere. Basically, is what the knowledge of a sentence requires the knowledge of the meaning of the constituent words occurring in the sentence. So padartha jnanam is the sadhanam for vakyartha jnanam. See how it is being interpreted. Padartha jnanam is the sadhanam for vakyartha jnanam. Therefore, padartha vichara is essential. The inquiry into the padartha, the meaning of the words, is essential for mahavakya jnanam, to understand mahavakyam. And therefore, tat tvam padartha vichara is there in the second pada. There is a context. And the third pada deals with varieties of upasanas. And upasana is direct, is required for concentration, focus, chitta ekagrata, all that thing we have told. And then the fourth and final pada that deals with anya sadhana vichara, sadhana vicharas. The vichara inquiry into all other sadhanas. Like the role of sannyasa, for example, in gaining Brahma Jnanam, and the role of sadhana, chatushtaya sampatti, all those things are also discussed, anya sadhanas, that is all done in the fourth part. So this is the structure. So having introduced now the third chapter, now let us go to the first pada of the third chapter, first section. And the first pada, it deals with, as I mentioned, jiva gatihi, the path, the travel after death of a jiva. And this occurs actually in several places, in Veda Antabhaga also, and in the Veda Purvabhaga also. And Vyasacharya deals with a particular portion occurring in Veda Antabhaga, Vedanta, called Panchagni Vidya. It is dealt with in the entire pada of this particular chapter. This occurs actually in two Upanishads. We have seen them in great detail. One is in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, 6th chapter, 2nd section. And also in Chandogya Upanishad, 5th chapter, 3rd section to the 10th section. We have seen this in elaborate terms at that time. Please refer to those lectures. And Vyasacharya takes the Chandogya Upanishad portion here. And until this pada is over, this entire pada is over, I will request you to go through the Chandogya Upanishad Prakarana. These sections which I mentioned to you, 5.3 to 5.10. I will give the essence of Panchagni Vidya here briefly. Here, the Upanishad talks about travel of jiva after giving up the gross body until it takes another body. And this shastra alone is to be talked about because it is apaurusheya vishaya. People cannot verify that by any pramanas. It is apaurusheya, only we have to depend on shruti, scriptures. So until death, whatever happens, I can see. However, what happens after death, I do not know. What happens to me? So the Upanishad points out that the departed jiva goes through 5 locations before becoming another embodied jiva. Mark my words, embodied jiva, once again. So getting another body, getting another grass body. So each location is called, 5 stages we said, and each location is called an Agni figuratively. So 5 Agni means 5 locations. Panchagni means 5 locations, Panchagnayaha. And when jiva passes through each location, each stage we can say as it were, it gets a particular transformation. This jiva after death goes through these 5 stages. And each stage as it passes through, it goes through a particular transformation. It is invisible to us. So it is apaurusheya vishayam, gets apaurusheya transformation, invisible transformation. Such all only scriptures say, nobody verified, we don't know. Such transformations we see even in our manufacturing process. This is not new to us as a concept. the raw materials, they go through several stages, and ultimately they comes through at the end as a finished product, which is completely different from the raw material. Similarly, Bhagavan has got a human assembly line with 5 locations, 5 stages. And the 5 locations are said as what? Swarga, then Megha, Megha the clouds, Parjanya, and Bhumi, the earth, Purusha, and Nari. Nari is women, Purusha is male and female. So Jiva enters every one of them and goes through transformation with additions at each stage. And when it comes to the out of the 5th Agni, namely the Nari, the female Agni, the cooking is complete. It's cooking as it were. It gets cooked because we mentioned Agni, it gets cooked everywhere. So transformation takes place with the help of Agni alone everywhere. Even for babies, they require a temperature for ripening. Thus, all the 5 are like incubators, are like womb, and each one cooks Jiva, each one of those stages. And a well-cooked Jiva, as it were, Swamiji uses these words, a well-cooked Jiva is ready for consumption by the society. Like a well-cooked food is ready for consumption. So here, well-cooked Jiva is ready for consumption by society. So Vyavahara, so the Vyavahara Yogyatvam that comes. When baby comes out after the 5th stage, then the baby can be in the society to transact. So Upanishad presents all of them as a subject matter for meditation, Upasana, understand. So each of the stages are mentioned for meditation. Therefore, it is called Pancha Agni Vidya, and Vidya here means Upasana. All this we have mentioned in those lectures in great detail, please refer to that. And this comes in the form of a dialogue. This Panchagni Vidya itself, that topic, comes in the form of a dialogue between a king called Jaivali and a rishi called Gautama. That's a Samvada Rupena. And in Chandogya Upanishad, it is all about the story told in the Upanishad. Here, Swetaketu, the son of Gautama, the rishi, after receiving a complete teaching from his father, he goes to the king Jaivali, to his court. And on reaching the king's court, the king asks Swetaketu 5 questions about Panchagni Vidya, which Swetaketu could not answer. So he told the king that he has learned everything. He could not answer these 5 questions. So he gets humiliated naturally and goes back to his father. And he asks his father why he did not teach the Panchagni Vidya to him. Then his father Gautama tells him that he himself did not know anything about Panchagni Vidya. And he goes to the king and requests him to teach him the Vidya. So thus the dialogue between Jaivali and Gautama takes place. And the outcome of that dialogue is called the Panchagni Vidya, enumerated in Chandogya. Here is an instance where the Brahmana, the rishi, goes to the Kshatriya king to learn Panchagni Vidya. That is why if you notice, I use the word dialogue, Samvada. I didn't use the word teaching. Because when a Kshatriya teaches a Brahmana, they normally is called a discussion, dialogue. And because in certain positions also, for example, when a young person gets to sannyasa, very young age, he has to be taught a lot of things. Age is very young, he has not learned a lot of shastras yet, he has to be taught. So some teacher has to teach, but they won't directly teach him. There will be also another student with him. So they will teach that student, and in the process, this acharya, this sannyasi also will learn. Because of reverence, they don't directly teach such people. So here the kshatriya, it's only a dialogue. So that's what Jaivali tells him, let us go for a walk and discuss. Then telling him, I'll teach you. Otherwise, he has to do namaskaram to him. He has to do so many things. Tadviti, pranipatayana, pariprishnaya, sevaya. All those things he has to do. So that cannot do. So that's the reason he makes it this process like that. So this will be dealt with in the entire first pada. And this pada has 6 adhikaranams with 27 sutras. And this is the background of this first pada, of the 3rd chapter. Now let us enter into the first adhikaranam and the first topic. Adhikaranam is a topic. Here we will find out that what is the subject matter, what is the doubt, and discuss what is Purvapakshi, Siddhanti, all that thing we have to do. And here subject matter is Jiva Gati. Here I have already told, travel of the disembodied Jiva. after death. Therefore, it is invisible. The doubt is, the jiva travels with what all factors? What is the luggage carried by the jiva? When the jiva dies, we can call it what the luggage or baggage. We know certain basic things that we know. The chidabhasa will travel, that we know. The reflected consciousness will travel. This I mentioned earlier. The chit part of jiva, the conscious, original consciousness, will it travel or not? It will not travel. Why? Because it is all pervading. Chidabhasa is not, but chit is all pervading. So there is no travel for the chit. Chidabhasa will travel. Chidabhasa part of jiva alone travels. And the reflecting medium, what is the reflecting medium? Mind, manas, that also travels. And it represents the entire sukshma sharira. Prana, antakaranam, jnanendriyas, karmendriyas, the entire bundle. I have already told this. All this I have seen. And third, another factor is the karana shariram. Even though it's not mentioned here, it also travels. So karana shariram, sukshma shariram, and chidabhasa. All three are traveled. Now the question is, when the disembodied jiva travels, does it have the sthula shariram during the travel after death is the doubt. People may think this is a stupid doubt because sthula shariram is incremated here. So when the disembodied jiva travels, does it have the gross body during travel after death? This is the doubt. Then Purvapakshi says that the disembodied jiva travels without the gross body because it is already destroyed, cremated, buried, whatever. And in support of this, the Purvapakshi gives a Shruti Vakyam also. One example he gives is Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, 4th chapter, 4th section, 2nd mantra. It says, Sharira Deshebhyaha Tam, we have quoted this mantra earlier also, Sharira Deshebhyaha Tam Utkramantam Pranaha Anutkramati Pranam Anutkramantagum Sarve Pranaha Anutkramanti. This mantra we have read earlier. When the Chidabhasa leaves the body after death, along with it, what also travels? Prana also travels, it says. Prana also gets out along with it and goes. Then the Upanishad says, when the Mukhya Prana leaves the body, along with Chidabhasa, Gauna Pranas also leave. All the sense organs also leave. But the Upanishad never talks about Sthula Shariram at all. It talks about Sukshma Shariram, it talks about Chidabhasa. Of course, Karna Sarim included. But never talks about Sthula Shariram at all. So that is the reason he asked this doubt. And if you did Bhagavad Gita also, 15th chapter, and that Mamaiva Amsho Jiva Loke, Jiva Bhuta Sanatanaha, Mana Sattani Indriyani, Prakritistani Karshati, all belongs to Sukshma Shariram only. Sthula Shariram is not at all mentioned here as also anywhere in the Upanishad. So Shruti and Smriti Vakyas, they establish that Sthula Shariram is not there for the disembodied Jiva. Disembodied Jiva need not carry the Sthula Shariram because wherever it goes, it can get a physical body with the Pancha Bhutas. Wherever it goes, it doesn't need to have its own body to carry. This looks like Siddhanta, if you superficially see, and this is the view of the Purvapaksha. This is not Siddhanta, it looks like Siddhanta, but this is a Purvapaksha's view. Siddhanta will give his views, of course. So the disembodied jiva after death has got a rudimentary version of the next physical body, even at the time of travel. This is what it says. The disembodied jiva, the grass body is now cremated and all that. The disembodied jiva, it has got at the time of death itself a rudimentary version of the next physical body it is going to take even at the time of travel. Now let us go to the first sutra, the first adhikaranam of the third chapter. It's an interesting topic. Tadantara pratipattau ramhati samparishvaktaha prashna nirupanabhyam. Tadantara pratipattau ramhati samparishvaktaha prashna nirupanabhyam. First sutra, first section, third chapter, 292nd running Brahma Sutra. We'll see the general introduction of this adhikaranam, the first pada, third chapter. It is fairly big adhikaranam with 7 sutras here. And the subject matter of this adhikaranam is jivagati, as I mentioned. And the travel of the disembodied jiva after dropping the present body, grass body, or after death. And that doubt with respect to topic was what? Whether the disembodied body, the embodied jiva, travels with a physical body, grass body, or without a physical body. And the Purvapakshi holds the view that it is evident that the physical body is dropped here, and the next body will come only in the next birth. Disembodied jiva travels without a physical body, it travels with subtle body. All agree on this particular thing. There is no dispute at all among many darshanas. Disembodied body has chidabhasa, chit, karana shariram, and sushma shariram. Now the controversy is that the jiva after death travels with sura shariram or not. And Purvapakshi says evidently there is no sura shariram at all. Here Vyasacharya establishes here that the disembodied jiva travels with the physical body. And only difference is what? The body is not a tangible or visible physical body. It is there in the minutest form one can think of. So this travels through these five locations, five stages as we mentioned. So as the minute body travels through the locations called the Panchagni, this unevolved rudimentary body transforms into full-fledged physically tangible sura shariram as it goes through these five stages. This is going to be established in the first adhikarana. So I'm just setting the background. Now let us do the general analysis of the sutra. And in this sutra, Vyasacharya establishes the presence of a minute physical body traveling from the disembodied jiva. We discussed this in detail when we did Chandogya and other places. So this discusses the Panchagni Vidya occurring in the fifth chapter of Chandogya. And in that Panchagni Vidya, the Upanishad says that the disembodied jiva is given a minute physical body by the Lord or by the Devatas. And this minute physical body evolves into full-fledged physical body in the next birth. So the preparation for this starts the moment the present body dies. It is not some future event. The preparation for this, getting another body, starts right here. And in keeping with the next fructifying prarabdha karma, minute physical body is given and that body is named water. Here that body, minuteness body, is named here as apaha, water, jala, jala sharira. Apaha little means water, but in the Panjagni context, apaha means the minute, unevolved physical body, something compared to your DNA. We can perhaps talk, say like that, we don't. Whether the new baby should have dark hair, will be fire, dark, white, gray. Will it have a heart problem? All those things are all encoded in various listings in all these various signatures, like DNA, RNA, all that. Like a dot. It is so small thing. So the minutest physical body is the blueprint of the jiva in the next birth. I just only threw this example. Whether it has relevance or not, I don't even know. Just only for us to relate. So each location is called Agni. Not physical Agni, but it assists evolution. The five stages is called Agni. I already mentioned earlier. So a cooking takes place by which the minute body passes on to the next stage of evolution. And what are the five stages? As I told, first one is Swarga, then Megha, the cloud, Bhumi, the earth, Purusha, the male, and Nari, the female. And the embodied jiva with the jala sharira, the water body, enters Swarga first. It gets cooked there and comes out to the second stage and enters the clouds. As I told, the second one is Megha. And it gets cooked there and enters the earth, Prithivi. And gets cooked there and enters the male. And gets cooked there lastly and gets transferred to the female. Gets cooked in the earth means all the plantations and all that thing. The food is taken and annam is taken by the male and then it gives rise to all the retas, all that thing. So in each stage of transformation, there is name difference to indicate the different stage of the body. So now we'll find what are the fivefold conversion. So in the first stage, the Swarga stage, it is conversion of jalam to soma. The minutest body is called jala shariram, apaha, in the form of minutest water. To Soma. Soma is the next one. So Jalam is also the name of the body and Soma also is the name of the body. And the difference between Jalam and Soma is what? The Soma is more evolved than Jalam. because of the transformation in Swarga. And the new name is not based on the transformation of Sukshma Shariram and Karana Shariram. The transformation takes place on the basis of the minute Stula Shariram of Jiva in the form of Jala. So Jalam has also Soma. They've got also Chit, Chidabhasa and all that. And in Swarga, Jala Soma conversion takes place. Apahat Soma. And Soma Avastha, so the Stula Shariram is converted into Vrishti Avastha. The next, then it goes to Megha. Vrishti means the rain, rainy water. Literally, Vrishti is rainy waters. And here it refers to the avastha of the physical body. It goes to a next stage. And there it becomes rainy water into the clouds. And the second conversion is Soma Vrishti conversion. So Jalam, Soma conversion, first stage. Soma Vrishti conversion next. And the third conversion is in Prithivi Bhumi, in the earth. And that is Vrishti Avastha. Two in the Prithivi becomes Anna Avastha, food. Anna means the third evolved stage of the physical body, food. Which will have also Chichidabhasa, Sukhmashiram, Karnasya, all that. Don't compare it with our food. This is a stage. And the fourth location is the Anna Bijam conversion. Otherwise called the Raitas or the seed in the male body. So Anna, the food, Bija conversion, the seed that takes place, that is the fourth stage, the male body. And finally, the Bija enters the body of woman, who is the cooking fire. So Bijam is converted, seed is converted to grass, Thula Shariram, grass body, which is named Purushaha. So Purushaha refers to the Sura Shariram here. So Jala Soma conversion, Soma Vrishti conversion, Vrishti Bijam conversion, Bijam Purusha conversion, and Purusha to the finally it becomes a grass body. So these are all the various five stages. And this evolution happens in the assembly line of the five stopovers as Swarga, Megha, Bhumi, Purusha, and Nari are the five stages. And whatever enters into Agni is taken as an oblation, as an Ahuti. Jalam is Ahuti in Swarga Agni. And Soma is Ahuti in the Ahuti Palam. By doing this Ahuti Homa, what is the Palam that comes out? Is Soma. And Soma is Ahuti in the Megha Agni. And what is the Palam? Vrishti, rainy waters. And Vrishti is the Ahuti in Bhumi Agni. And Annam is the Palam. And Annam is the Ahuti in the Purusha Agni. And Bijam is the Palam. And at the time of conception, the Bijam is the Ahuti in the Nari Agni, the female fire. And the Palam is the baby. And all the ahutis are done by devatas or the Lord. The intervention of devatas is required. Why? As the conversions are to be governed by karma. The males of so many species are there. And appropriate females are to be there. Then only this. So it's all according to the punya papa karmas. So the devatas have to intervene. Make sure that they do the job right. Their appropriate karma ends up in the appropriate body, appropriate jiva. All these are governed by Punyapapa karmas. And Vyasacharya in this sutra says that Panchagni Vidya points out that Jalam alone gets converted into Purushaha ultimately. And in support of this, Vyasacharya quotes Chandogya Upanishad mantra. I talked about the contest of the Panchagni Vidya teaching and the story of Javali and Gautama. Among the five questions asked by Javali, the king, one of them related to Panchagni Vidya, and the full-fledged body comes after the Jalam, passes the fifth stage, and the five Ahutis, oblations, Swetaketu did not know. So the Jalam transforms itself to Purusha after passing through the five stages, and each stage is called Agni. So having given, I'll take only a couple of minutes, and having given the elaborate Panchagni teaching, Vyasacharya takes as his support. And this concluding statement occurs in the fifth chapter, ninth section, first mantra of Chandogya. Iti tu panjamyam ahuta vapaha purushaha vachaso bhavanti iti sa ulbha vruto garbo dashava navava masanantaha shayitva yavadvata jayate. That is ulbha vruto garbo dashava navava masanantaha. In this manner, the minute physical body travels and becomes the full-fledged physical body. And this portion is important because we should know that the mother or father is not fully responsible for the determining the type of the body. These are all, when scriptures tell all these, it's all a big surprise to all of us. The mother or father is not fully responsible for determining the type of the body. The type of the body is determined at the time of death itself in the previous Janma. The jiva has been associated with the body throughout. The minute sthula shariram was associated with jiva in swarga also, associated in megha, in bhumi, and even in purusha. And the sthula shariram is along with the jiva, and similarly, the fetus is associated with the jiva. Thus, we do not know when the jiva comes into the body at all. Panchagni Vidya says, jiva does not enter in a particular month. And jiva is there already, even before entering the father, mother, or prithivi. This is the general analysis of this sutra. Now let us see the word analysis in the next class. Yo veda dausvara prokto vedante cha pratishtitaha tasya prakritilinascaya parasamaheshwara. Sri Krishna arpanamastu. Purnamada purnamidam purnat purnamudachyate purnasya purnamadaya purnameva vasishyate. Om Shanti 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 Sri Guru Namaha Hari Om Sri Krishna Arpanamastu Namaha.